This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Unfortunately, we seem to be living in a reality, especially in North America, where the whole Walmart culture and keeping up with the Joneses and town and country, people want to live on these manicured golf courses with these beautiful little ponds with lilies growing in them. I think it's, you know, it's okay. It's not something. I don't want to hate on lily ponds and on grass, but it's crazy that we're in a situation now where neighbors living on 2.5 acre properties can look over the fence at somebody who has a biodiverse property growing, you know, scores of different types of fruits and vegetables on a property that has no chemical fertilizers, pesticides, or herbicides in use. Where there's snakes and frogs and ducks and birds and insects and a huge biodiverse beauty mix of life, and somebody can be looking over that and go like, that's horrible, I want another golf course looking lawn over there, and if you don't put a golf course looking lawn over there, I'm going to bring down, you know, the fuzz on you, or call the cops or the bylaw enforcement, or try to bring down the my mayor and council on your head for it.
That was audio from an interview with Thirsty Camel owner Ilan Goldenblatt speaking about Dirk Becker's Compassion Farm in Lanceville on Vancouver Island. It came from an interview recorded by Grounded News. Urban agriculture is surging in British Columbia and across North America, resulting in a growing network of small-scale farms, rooftop, back, and front gardens, and community garden initiatives. The potential benefits to the gardener, farmers, and communities have also become apparent, including the alleviation of poverty and waste, the promotion of sustainable development, reductions in crime, an increased sense of community, improved nutrition, and a host of ecological benefits. Health professionals have also recognized the value of farm and garden scale urban agriculture, including the engagement of local citizens in work and benefits to food security, exercise, and mental health. But not all citizens share the same enthusiasm for urban and small scale agriculture. We're joined on the phone by Dirk Becker, a dedicated organic farmer on 2.5 acres in Lanceville, BC, called Compassion Farm.
Welcome back to People First Radio, Dirk.
Thank you, and thanks for having the show, folks. Thanks for having us on.
Dirk, you've operated Compassion Farm for a number of years already.
Yeah, 12 years.
12 years. Mm-hmm. I was going to say a decade or so, but you've been facing quite a struggle with neighbors in the municipality recently. What's the conflict about, and what's happening now?
I think, you know, on the outside, the conflict was that we're zoned residential, even though we're on 2.5 acres, dead-end street, forest on the other side, cows and horses on our street. You know, we have some next, just our one next door neighbor is, you know, the old school way of thinking and sees us as some kind of interference with his enjoyment of property and property value, even though he has, you know, 17 noisemakers and is constantly mowing and weed eating and leaf blowing. He became very obsessed with us and got quite a bit of media attention around the concerns of public health vis-a-vis manure and became obsessed with that. The bigger picture answer is we have lost our way as a species and as a culture, and those that are not prepared to change are feeling threatened by those of us who are making these changes.
If we just briefly turn back to the local situation there, you said that this is an opportunity for bylaw changes. Is that going to happen?
If more and more people get behind it, I mean, if I could just frame it by asking some questions and then answering your question is, you know, this weekend is CD Sunday at Bowen Park, which will be packed. And Nicole and I also are founders of the Bowen Road Farmers Market. We publish Synergy Magazine. And $5,000 was raised by people in our community in Nanaimo and Lanceville and abroad for our legal bill, just for us to allow to be permitted to grow food in an urban area, even though less than 5% of our food is grown in Vancouver Island. So if people continue the way they are, which is wanting to become reconnected to country and reconnected to their food, then people will naturally push for bylaw changes that move urban farming from being allowed and permitted to being supported, encouraged, and protected.
This is People First Radio on CHOY, across the islands and streaming online at CHOY.ca.
Do we regard a river as the veins of the land or an opportunity for power and irrigation? Is a forest a sacred grove or is it timber and pulp? Is your house a home or is it a piece of real estate? The way that we view the world affects the way you treat it. And right now, I think that we've come to think of the world as simply a source of raw materials or a place to deposit our wastes.
That was scientist, environmentalist, and broadcaster Dr. David Suzuki from a TVO interview with Alan Gregg. Urban and small-scale agriculture is surging in BC and across North America, resulting in a growing network of small-scale farms, rooftop, back and front yard gardens, community garden initiatives. But not all citizens share the same enthusiasm for urban and small-scale agriculture. In late 2010, Vancouver Island urban farmer and local food production advocate Dirk Becker was ordered to shut down his 2.5-acre farm in Lanceville. The municipality's home business bylaw apparently did not include agriculture in its regulations. Dirk Becker joins us on the phone from Compassion Farm today in Lanceville.
Hello again.
Dirk, tell us more about cultural attitudes and understandings.
Well, and an example of, you know, the cultural attitudes changing, I mean, just think about it. Vancouver Island originally was just forest. And so when people came here, all we really had was people trying to carve out a living. And so first you would have cut down some trees and grown some food. So on some level, everybody was, to some degree, a farmer, so to speak, because they were trying to find some way, whether you were a pilgrim or, you know, you just got off the boat, you were trying to find some way to make a living. And so then after that, we had things like mining, and you went to a mining camp, and you were and lived in a mining camp. You were camping and mining, and you went to a logging camp, and you were logging and camping. But after that, you would go back to the family farm. In 1900, 90% of Canadians were involved in farming. And so what's happened, we shifted from a culture that was agri-based to a culture that was based on simply consuming. And the way we did that, of course, is we outsourced our work more and more outside of the city, outside of the suburbs, and to other countries like China, so we could, you know, live in luxury, as it were, and enjoy food and other goods as cheaply as possible. And so then your house just became a place to consume, which is why we have 2- and 3- and 4-car garages and cars in the driveway and houses full of stuff. And so what's happened as a culture, we understand we're heading for disaster. We understand that we've lost our way. And so people are reaching out for something. So urban farming is this magical means for people to reconnect with themselves, with each other, with food, with the land, with farmers and farming. And that is why I'm an urban farmer.
Derek Spaulding wrote in the net. Excuse me. Derek Spaulding wrote in the Nanaimo Daily News that you and your partner, Nicole Shaw, are the epitome of the modern food movement that encourages people to grow food in their backyards. What brought you to small-scale agriculture? What happened in your life to bring you there?
Well, and I'd just like to start off by saying, and where we've ended up today is we just had an election, and Nanaimo had a 26% turnout. Victoria had a 26% turnout. Best in 9 years, we went from 22 to 44% around this issue. And so what brought me personally was after 20 years of activism and fighting everything and everyone, fighting City Hall and fighting developers and fighting clear cutting and fighting, you know, drift net fishing, I discovered that food is something that everyone is interested in. And food is a medium. And where food comes from is a medium of and a means for us to re-engage with each other. And I have found this magical way that I can talk to anyone from left wing to right wing, from redneck, from total New Ager to total church person, and we can join in discussions and say, how do you want your future to look? What do you want your children to eat? What kind of health do you want to have in your 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s if you live that long? How can you avoid cancer and diabetes? And so urban farming has been this amazing tool for me and for Nicole and I as a couple and for those of us who are involved to engage people in a way that we haven't in a long, long time.
Now, Dirk, we only have about a moment or so left in our conversation. I'm sorry about that. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I would like to add that spin farming has been around for thousands of years. The Chinese for 5,000, the French for 250 have been doing biointensive. All of us can be involved in farming. All of us can be involved in growing food in urban, peri-urban areas, including on our balconies and our apartments. And all of us can come together around food and discuss how we can create a better future.
Dirk Becker, thank you for joining us. It was much appreciated.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dirk Becker is a dedicated organic farmer on 2.5 acres in Lanceville, BC, called Compassion Farm. You can find him online at dirkbecker.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.